Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we are beginning a new fall sermon series on singing the faith, looking at the background and meaning of some favorite hymns. Our current hymnal, Lutheran Service Book, contains over 600 hymns. While that seems like a lot, it is staggering to think that those have been selected out of over 1 million Christian hymns, it is estimated, have been written. Surveys have been taken of what people's favorite hymns are, and one of the main reasons the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod published a new hymnal was so that our Missouri Synod hymnal could finally include the two most popular hymns in America. The most popular hymn, How Great Thou Art, wasn't even written until 1952. So, of course, it couldn't have been included in the Lutheran hymnal of 1941. And the second most popular hymn was not yet that popular in 1941, or familiar to our German forebears, so it wasn't included either. The second most popular hymn in America is based on today's epistle reading. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The first hymn that Martin Luther wrote, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, is very obviously autobiographical. In the 10 verses of this hymn, Luther tells us in song the story of his spiritual journey, which led not only to his personal transformation, but also to the Reformation, altering not only the course of his own life, but also the course of history. In the opening verses, Luther confesses in a very moving way his own sinfulness and his great despair and spiritual torment. Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death brooded darkly over me. Sin was my torment night and day. In sin my mother bore me. But daily deeper still I fell. My life became a living hell. So firmly sin possessed me. My fears increased till sheer despair left only death to be my share. The pangs of hell I suffered. But then Luther relates the turning point in his spiritual journey, when he came to understand the true meaning of the Christian faith. But God had seen my wretched state before the world's foundation, and mindful of his mercies great, he planned for my salvation. God said to his beloved son, It's time to have compassion. From sin and sorrow set them free. Slay bitter death for them, that they may live with you forever. Like Luther's autobiographical hymn, telling the story of his spiritual journey and his transformation, in today's epistle reading from 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul has a similar autobiographical confession. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Well, just like the Apostle Paul and Martin Luther, when John Newton wrote Amazing Grace, he also was actually writing his own personal spiritual autobiography. in the words of this hymn. John Newton was born in London in 1725, the son of a ship captain. His mother was a very godly woman and helped him memorize hymns and Bible verses as a young child, and often told him he hoped she'd grow up to become a pastor. However, Newton's mother died when he was only 7 years old. His father was not a godly man, but very ungodly. At age 11, Newton followed his father to sea and to a very rough and wicked life. A few years later, he was drafted into the British Navy, but was soon flogged and demoted for insubordination. While in Africa, he left the Navy and made his living in the slave trade. He called himself an atheist, and he lived like it. As the captain of slave ships with thousands crammed below deck, he treated these men, women, and children like cattle. He didn't care that hundreds died on each trip. In many other ways, he lived a very wicked life. But then on one voyage, he was almost swept off the deck during a terrible storm. Like Martin Luther, whose spiritual journey of transformation began in the midst of a thunderstorm, when he cried out, "Help me, and I will become a monk." In the same way, John Newton, in the midst of a thunderstorm, with the hold below crammed full of slaves, made this promise: "God, get me safely to port, and I will be your slave forever." It had been over 20 years and a whole other life since his mother had sang him hymns and taught him Bible verses as a little boy and hoped he would become a pastor. He thought that way of life was dead and gone along with his mother. But though he claimed to be an atheist and had lived a dreadful, brutal life of sin and slave trading, the lessons his mother taught him were still there. The seeds of faith she planted when he was a little boy bloomed. For Rally Day today, it's a beautiful illustration of the proverb: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That right there is an important lesson we learn from the life of John Newton: the importance of the seeds of faith that you plant in the lives of your children, the lasting impact of the example of your own faithfulness on them throughout their lives. And like the Apostle Paul, we also learn from the life of John Newton the power of God's amazing grace. Paul's autobiographical confession also describes John Newton: "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Like the Apostle Paul and Martin Luther, John Newton was actually writing his own personal spiritual autobiography in the words of that beloved hymn. The Lord did save him from the storm and brought him safely to port. He renounced his former sinful life, began studies to become a pastor as his mother had hoped so long ago, and as he promised in the midst of that storm, he became the Lord's slave forever. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Becoming a pastor at age 39, Newton was still preaching when he died at age 82. Just before he died, he said, "My memory is nearly gone, but two things I remember, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe so far. His grace will see me home." On his tombstone, he had this inscription: "John Newton, cleric, once an infidel and wicked libertine, a trader of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, amazing grace shall then prevail in heaven's joy and peace." In addition to serving faithfully as a pastor for over 40 years, John Newton also became one of the greatest hymn writers of all time, producing more than 275 hymns. Musical experts think the tune for Amazing Grace that we just sang might actually have been an African melody. That John Newton up on deck overheard the slaves singing in the hold below. And he very poignantly set his hymn of confession to that tune, which stuck in his mind, perhaps haunted him. Although Amazing Grace was not in the Lutheran hymnal of 1941 that many of us grew up with, 8 of John Newton's other hymns were in that hymnal, and there are 5 of his hymns in the newer Lutheran service book. In fact, it may surprise you that all of the hymns in our service today have something in common. They were all written by John Newton. The message of John Newton's autobiographical hymn, Amazing Grace, is the same as that of Martin Luther in his autobiographical hymn and the Apostle Paul in his autobiographical confession. The good news that no sin is too great, no sinner too far gone for God to forgive. There's an old song that puts it this way: "He always says, I forgive." Like the forgiving father in the parable of the prodigal son, your heavenly father always welcomes you home to the family of God with open and loving arms. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. There are 2 additional verses of Amazing Grace printed in the bulletin. Lutherans have sometimes thought the first of these verses confuses law and gospel. "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved." Actually, it is the law, not the gospel or God's grace, that teaches us to fear in the sense of being afraid of God's wrath. So at first glance, to say 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear might seem like a very basic theological error. But you know, John Newton was both an accomplished theologian and an accomplished poet. He's making a play on the 2 meanings of the word fear. When he says 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear,' He's using the word fear in the same sense as Luther in the Small Catechism. We should fear and love God. It doesn't mean being afraid of God, but to revere God. You could paraphrase what John Newton is saying this way: 'Twas grace that taught my heart to revere God, and grace my fears of God relieved. It's a poetic play on the double meaning of the word fear. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The other verse printed in the bulletin was written by Newton as the original final verse for his most famous hymn, but for some reason it's hardly ever included in any hymnal. In this final verse, Newton emphasizes God's amazing grace is good news for you, not only for this life, but for eternal life. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Like the Apostle Paul in that autobiographical confession, like Martin Luther in his autobiographical hymn, in the hymn Amazing Grace, John Newton was actually writing about his own personal spiritual experience, the amazing story of his spiritual journey and transformation by the power of God's amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. His grace has brought me safe so far. His grace will see me home. The good news is, for the sake of his Son, God shows to you that very same amazing grace. Amen.